Chapter 3. Elias. Standing atop the broken battlements of the citadel, Elias watches the protectors of the city, his city, prepare themselves for departure. His eyes sweep over the ruined buildings, recalling what it was like to grow up here, a flood of bittersweet memories filling his mind. "Even then, I was still an outcast," he thinks, remembering those early days. "I was the orphan from Tarsus, the street rat who trained with the finest warriors among the Nightingales. They hated and feared me, but at least this was home." He smiles sadly as he remembers the years he spent training, honing his skills with Xanderthel to become a lethal warrior. He'd had a difficult childhood, but it wasn't entirely without happiness. The other children he'd trained with, the other Shadow Blades, were the closest thing he had to a family. They shared his hardships and his victories, commiserating as fellow outcasts. "They're all dead now," he thinks sadly. "I'm the only one left, a man caught between two worlds." Footsteps shake him from his reverie, and he turns to see Tamara Moyle approaching, her blue eyes piercing as they study him.
"Ranger Keen, they told me I'd find you up here."
He nods, turning back to stare out at the city.
"Master Warden?"
She steps up beside him, but maintains a respectful distance, her hand resting on the hilt of her sword as she follows his gaze. Although the top of her head only reaches his shoulder, her presence seems to loom over him, the mantle of her office like an armor surrounding her. She remains silent for a long moment, the ambient noise from the cavern washing over them both.
"You know why I'm here, I assume?"
He grunts, glancing at her out of the corner of his eye.
"I do."
"Then tell me," she replies, more gently than he expects. "Tell me everything. No more secrets."
He sighs quietly.
"There's no point in holding back now, and there's no more point in hiding. I'm a Nightingale, Tamara. I've always been a Nightingale."
"Always?"
she inquires softly.
"Ever since I was a boy. Xanderthel found me in Tarsus when I was young, brought me here. He trained me and turned me into a killer, a Shadow Blade. When I came of age, he sent me on missions to weaken the king's influence throughout the kingdom. That is who I am, who I've been."
She listens quietly, her expression revealing nothing. When she offers no response, he grudgingly continues.
"Time and time again, the other Shadow Blades and I proved ourselves. We stole important official documents, planted forgeries, even killed people. Evil men who helped the king abuse his power. After a few years, Protector Corbin decided we were ready for our ultimate task. To assassinate the king himself."
Even this admission doesn't elicit a reaction from his superior. If Tamara is surprised, she's hiding it well.
"The plot failed, of course," he says bitterly. "Aethelgar's father was a careful man, and our arrogance cost us everything. The other Shadow Blades died, and I was very nearly killed myself. If it hadn't been for a priest who found me bleeding in an alley, I wouldn't be here today."
Tamara continues to study him, her face an emotionless mask. Even so, her eyes betray a hint of something. Remorse, perhaps? Sympathy? He can't be sure. The only thing he knows is that she's holding back, her true feelings suppressed beneath a carefully maintained facade. As Elias regards her, the silence dragging on, he can feel his anger rising.
"Light almighty, Tamara, say something."
She stares at him, but does not flinch at his outburst.
"What do you want me to say, Elias?"
"I don't care," he says. "Condemn me as a traitor, anything."
She hesitates, then replies,
"You're not on trial here.
Not yet.
I'll withhold judgment until I know the whole of it." He shakes his head and looks back out at the city, his temper fading to mild annoyance.
There's only one bloody person on Behalia who can rile me, he thinks. Why did she have to be named Master Warden?
After a few moments, Tamara speaks up.
So, you were taken in by the Nightingales, turned into an assassin, and almost killed trying to slay the king. What led you to join the Rangers?
It's complicated, he replies. Ultimately, it was Xander Thel's idea. He wanted to repurpose me, turn me into a spy who could keep an eye on the Rangers. But for me, it was something different. It was a chance for a new life.
A new life, she repeats skeptically. Among your enemies?
The king and his lackeys were my enemies, not his subjects, and certainly not the Rangers.
Tamara opens her mouth, then closes it again, inclining her head to tell him to continue.
It was strange, I'll admit, leaving Dunmar City to go and live at the Grand Lodge. But it was also freeing, to a certain extent. Learning the ways of the wilderness, the ways of the tracker and the hunter.
He shrugs uncomfortably, unaccustomed to speaking so much about his past.
It's hard for me to explain. When I took the oath, it felt like I became a new person. Over time, I learned to serve the common folk, and I gained a new perspective on the secret war I'd been waging all my life. The war against the rich and powerful.
Is that everything? She asks, prodding for any further information.
He grunts. That's the gist of it, I suppose.
She crosses her arms, giving him a pointed look.
Did you forsake the Nightingales, then?
Yes, he replies, then adds, eventually.
So what changed? Was it the oath, or serving among the common people? Did your new sense of purpose change you? I have a hard time believing that a hardened rebel such as yourself would give up on the cause you'd spent most of your life pursuing.
I thought I wasn't on trial, he thinks, his annoyance rising again. It was a lot of things, he replies, turning to face her. Like I said, it's complicated.
The Ark of Radiance is complicated, she says, her eyes seeming to bore into him. Tarsus politics are complicated. The motivations of a single man are not complicated, Elias Keane. How do I know that you're fully committed to the Ranger's Oath? How do I know you're not that same man you were all those years ago before you came to us?
Elias gives her a hard look and says in a low growl,
I'm not that man anymore. I swear it.
Her eyes narrow as she meets his gaze.
Your actions prove otherwise. You left your apprentice, abandoned your post. For light's sake, we're standing in the middle of a Nightingale stronghold.
Our oath is to protect the realms of men, all of them. Or have you forgotten, Master Warden?
His tone is icy as he says the last words. Her cool exterior is all but gone, replaced by a venomous glare, outrage seething beneath the surface. She takes a step toward him, and he half expects her to draw her sword.
The oath is all I have, Ranger Keane. It is everything to me. I'm responsible for every ranger in this kingdom and for protecting its borders as well as all of its inhabitants. As an admitted Nightingale agent, you put my people at risk. Men have lost their heads for lesser crimes. Now, I ask you again, what made you change?
Elias balls his fists at his sides. Heat rises from his chest, his ears burning as the reply falls unbidden from his tongue.
It was you,
he shouts, the declaration surprising even him. Tamara's eyes widen, her expression changing from anger to one of open shock. She steps away from him, recoiling as if physically struck.
It was me. I don't understand.
He lets out a long breath, the heat cooling like steel plunged into a barrel of water. Then, slowly, he nods.
Yes, Tamara. It was you who changed me. Made me never want to come back here.
Turning, he leans heavily on the fractured wall, his eyes gazing back out at the city's districts.
It's always been you.
His voice is hoarse now. A silence settles between them, neither one of them knowing what to say. Finally, Tamara clears her throat, her tone carefully neutral once more.
You'll need to return to the Grand Lodge to stand trial before the wardens, she says impassively. Only then will you be absolved or found guilty of your crimes. You will travel to the Ashwood in our custody, but until judgment is passed, you will not be treated as a prisoner. Do you accept these terms?
He nods without looking back.
I do.
Excellent,
she replies, turning to depart. Her feet echo a path of retreat behind him, every footfall like a weight stamping upon his heart. It takes 2 full days to assemble the army to march. The logistics of preparing a defense while securing the king's prisoners for departure prove to be an enormous challenge, but together with the rangers, they eventually figure everything out. With the winds of winter at their backs, the new alliance prepares itself for a long journey to the kingdom's heartlands. 1,000 rangers, 2,000 Nightingale soldiers and militiamen, and just as many prisoners of war stand ready in the terraced fields of the valley, steam from the surrounding hot springs rising lazily around them. It's an inspiring sight, a prelude to a greater war to come, engendering hope in a righteous cause. Elias stands beside Xander and his entourage at the mountain's entrance, the cold air of the outside world to his back. He watches soberly as the residents of the city gather in the entryway that had been a battlefield a few short weeks ago. The whole of Dunmar City has turned out to see the army off. To his left, Owen, Zara, and Talon wait patiently beside their horses along with a contingent of rangers chosen by Tamara to accompany the Nightingales. The Master Warden, however, is nowhere to be seen, most likely out with the bulk of the rangers, readying them to leave the mountains behind. As his gaze settles on Owen, he can't help but feel a pang of remorse for his apprentice, who will not be accompanying them back to the Ashwood.
Tamara probably wanted to spare him, he thinks, rubbing his hands together for warmth. It would be terrible for him to witness what may happen to me at the lodge. Grunting, he pushes away the thought. Nothing to be done about it now.
Captain Sturgis approaches them from the fields behind, bringing the Protector his final report.
The generals are ready for your word, Sturgis says. The prisoners will be marched at the head of the column with the rangers. When we arrive at the Heartlands, they'll continue on with them to the Grand Lodge. After their departure, we'll head east to Tarsus and set up a fortified encampment outside the city's borders.
Excellent, Xander replies. Good work, Captain. We'll leave shortly.
He turns to address the huddled crowd, his hands clasped smartly behind his back. His uniform seems to absorb all light into itself, the silver buttons and epaulets stark against the deep black of the fabric.
"Free men and women of Dunmar City," he shouts,
instantly quieting the buzzing mass.
"Today is an important day. A historic day for our people. Our actions this day may indeed decide the fate of the entire human race."
He pauses, his gaze sweeping over the fearful faces of his people.
"As many of you may know, our ancient enemy has once again come to threaten us all. I do not speak of Aethelgar or the legions of Tarsinium. No. I speak of the demonic threat of the evil R'hllar."
Whispering voices fill the cave. He raises his hand to quiet them.
"If we hope to survive the coming war, we must unite with our human enemies. Old alliances must be repaired and new alliances must be forged if we wish to have a chance in the coming war."
Again he pauses, as if the words he's about to say pain him greatly.
I've failed you as your protector. Many of you have lost loved ones, and now, because of me, your fathers and brothers, husbands and sons, are leaving your homes. But I swear before the light that I act in the best interest of our people. I'll continue to serve the cause of the Nightingales until my dying day.
Nobody shouts or jeers. The crowd remains quiet as a tomb.
We will venture out into the cold of winter and create for ourselves a new future. We will fight the oldest war humanity has ever faced, and this time we will finally win. While we are away, keep the faith. Pray for us, brothers and sisters, and keep our hearths warm until we return. Farewell.
He salutes the people of Dunmore City, then turns, trekking across the open field, to join his army. The others, including Elias, follow him. As they leave, Elias can't help but notice the tears in the eyes of the children and the grim resolution on their mothers' faces. They know that it will be some time yet before they see their loved ones again, if they see them at all. Reaching down and grasping the hilt of his belt knife, Elias steels himself for the journey ahead, and for whatever lies at the end of it. Snow drifts down from the heavy clouds, dusting the mountains in a downy layer of white. It melts almost as soon as it hits the ground, but the effect on the sky is mesmerizing, making the world seem quiet and serene. In a mass exodus, the army departs the secluded vale of Dunmore City, moving through the hidden waterfall passage and into the greater Ironbacks beyond. Elias spares one final glance at the mountain stronghold before disappearing into the tunnel, knowing full well that he'll probably never see it again. The realization feels like a dull ache deep in his chest. In some ways, it's like he's leaving a small part of himself behind, a last vestige of his past that helped shape him into the man he is today. Setting his jaw firmly, he fixes his gaze forward, to the future and the challenges ahead. Progress is slow, the roads treacherous and narrow. The snowy weather makes the going more difficult than normal. They're forced to set up camp in a valley by late afternoon, their bonfires causing the rocky cliff faces to glow with an orange light. At dawn, they set out once again, making slow but steady progress on the winding mountain road. Elias spends most of his time riding beside Owen, coaching him on various fighting techniques and teaching him about the local flora. The conversations come easily enough, and there are even times when it feels like it did before, back when they were living in the Emberwood. Even so, the nagging reality lurks in the back of their minds, and Owen's participation often seems strained. He knows, Elias realizes, guiding his horse down a particularly stony path. Hells, that isn't going to make this any easier. Eventually, the army winds its way out of the mountains and into the forested foothills, the road widening and making travel easier. At the behest of Protector Thel, they give the city of Omkirk a wide berth as they enter the heartlands, skirting along the edges of civilization and keeping to the wilderness. Even so, the thousands of nightingales don't go unnoticed. Travelers on the road flee before them, turning horses and wagons around and racing off in the opposite direction. Word will begin to spread quickly of the army's presence, traveling to the very center of Tarsinium and to the agents of the king. Another day of travel brings them to a fork in the main road, one path heading toward the inner heartlands and Tarsus, the other heading southeast and on to the Ashwood.
This is where we part ways, Tamara says to Protector Thel, who sits astride his warhorse at the head of the column of soldiers. We'll escort the prisoners to the Ashwood, where we will await your word. From there I'll do what I can to negotiate with the king. She pauses before adding, Light be with you, Protector.
Xander nods graciously. Thank you, Warden, for everything. Until we meet again.
Tamara nods in return and clicks her tongue, prompting her horse to continue toward the southeasterly road. Almost 1,000 rangers follow her, riding with the bedraggled prisoners in tow. Even so, they move quickly, outpacing the Nightingale army. Elias doesn't immediately go after them. Instead, his gaze lingers on Owen, Zara, and Talon, who wait in the grass a little way off the path, quietly watching the proceedings. He nudges his horse toward their position, unsure about what to say.
Well, he begins gruffly, pulling up beside them. It looks like this is goodbye.
It looks that way,
Owen replies just as stoically. Zara gives the apprentice a suffering look, then turns her eyes on the ranger.
Farewell, Elias, and good luck. I'll remember you in my prayers.
He merely nods. She smiles warmly and rides back to the road, leaving him alone with the two young men. Talon clears his throat, his words coming out awkward and rushed before he follows after the young mage.
Thanks for looking out for us all this time. You've been great. Take care of yourself, will you?
Elias nods. Owen watches his master, and for a moment it seems that both of them are at a loss for words. Finally, Elias breaks the silence.
You don't need me anymore. You know that, right?
Owen shrugs.
There's still so much I don't know.
A small, knowing smile tugs at the corner of Elias's mouth.
That feeling never goes away. The older you get, the more you realize you don't know everything. But you know enough, Owen. I can tell. You're ready to become a full ranger.
A surprised look flickers across the apprentice's face, but it's quickly replaced by one of skepticism.
But I'm still so young.
Age doesn't matter, Elias says, nudging his horse closer to Owen's. What matters most is experience. An apprentice needs to prove himself in the furnace of adversity, and you've proven yourself many times over. I wanted you to know that before I go. You've earned that cloak, Owen. You're ready to be out there on your own.
Owen chuckles softly.
Well, it's for the wardens to decide anyway. Only they can raise me.
I'll talk to them, he replies, when I'm at the lodge.
Owen's smile fades as a cold wind blows down from the north, ruffling his hair. He eyes Elias for a long moment before sticking out his hand.
I look forward to your return, Master, he says, forcing a smile.
Elias grips his hand and shakes it.
As do I.
With that, he turns and trots his horse back to the road, following the long column of rangers and prisoners marching southeast.